Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Roy Bernardi, Deputy Secretary at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Also joining us on our conversation from IBM is Steve Sika. Roy, despite the importance of the housing industry to the American economy, it can still take 10 to 25 years for new housing technology to achieve full penetration in the marketplace. Could you tell us about the Partnership for Advancing Technology in Housing, or PATH? How does PATH accelerate the adoption of housing technologies and promote innovation?
Well, the PATH homes are energy efficient, they're durable, and disaster efficient. HUD is partnering with the private sector to get markets penetration about this important issue. We're also working with organizations such as the National Association of Home Builders and private developers throughout the country to reduce the time frame to 5 years. We're going to continue to encourage the building and buying community to adopt these new technologies. We all want to make sure that that we do this as efficiently and effectively as possible.
Roy, collaboration is a big theme in government these days. How do you collaborate with other federal agencies, and what kinds of other partnerships are you developing now to improve operations or outcomes at HUD? And how many of these partnerships change over time?
Well, we work by means of interagency agreements with several agencies. For example, the Department of Transportation, subprime mortgage crises, Environmental Protection Agency, lead and other contamination abatement in homes, and with the Department of Homeland Security, disaster relief, housing assistance, Health and Human Services, that, as I mentioned earlier, that income verification system that was so helpful to us in reducing our erroneous payments. We participate in collaborations established by executive order, as an example, President's Committee for People with Intellectual Disabilities, the President's Adult Education Working Group, the Interagency Council on the Homeless.
Roy, in an earlier segment, you talked about the limited staff resources that you're dealing with now and the fact that approximately 60% of HUD's workforce will be eligible to retire by fiscal year 2009. How are you handling the pending retirement wave, and what is HUD doing to address staff imbalances and other human capital challenges that have to be you have to be facing at this point?
As we mentioned earlier, Steve, we're committed to making sure that we have a succession plan that's going to keep the agency not only viable but vibrant and progressive. Key elements of the plan are strong strategic recruiting initiative and training and development of the current employees. And when it comes to training and development, Secretary Jackson launched a HUD-wide initiative in 2006 requiring all HUD managers to prepare individual annual training plans for each of their employees. For the first time, this gave us the ability to see all the training needs across the entire department and prioritize our training. You know, we'd like to be able to obviously train everyone all of the time, but resources obviously don't provide that. So we're working actively, making sure that when it comes to our younger employees, that we have student loan repayment program, and we try to accelerate promotions. We try to backfill with folks that have been there, like the senior executive service, our SESs. When they retire, that's a substantial loss. But we have folks in the GS system that are 13s, 14s, and 15s, and you just want to make sure. I was always cognizant of this when I was mayor of Syracuse, and I've done this as the assistant secretary for community planning and development, and try to do it in my position as deputy secretary, is when we know that someone, I try to tell our folks, let us know when you're going to be leaving, and then to try to put person or persons with that individual for hopefully a significant period of time so they can fill that gap quickly.
So, Roy, transitioning now to the future, what are some of the major opportunities and challenges your organization will encounter? And how do you envision your department will evolve over the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years? And if I may be so bold as to ask, what advice might you give the next administration in facing these challenges head on?
Well, our goal during this transition year is to leave the agency better prepared to deliver its services than when we arrived. In fact, I have weekly meetings every Monday morning with the assistant secretaries and the directors of the various programs. And telling them that what we really need to do during this transition is make sure that we have career employees who know the accomplishments, know where we are, and that these people will serve with the administration coming in as the conduit, if you will, so that nothing is lost and what we've been able to accomplish doesn't miss a beat. The ultimate measure of the program changes made by this administration is that for the first time, as I mentioned, since 94, you know, we were off that high-risk list. And how we got off that, we need to make sure that we transition that to the new folks coming in. Sum up the changes. We just need to consolidate with the new folks coming in as to where we are and the successes that we had, and also let them know the challenges that are still there.
Sure, sure. Given your dedication to public service, both as an elected official and now as a leader at the federal level, what advice would you give to a person who's out there perhaps considering a career in public service, either at a local level or at a federal level?
Well, as I mentioned at the outset, people will do something in life for many different reasons, hopefully because they enjoy it. I would tell anyone out there, if you don't enjoy what you do, then run away from it. You have to like what you do, just like your folks sitting here. And you can make a lot of money. You're not going to do it in government. I tell folks that, tell young folks that especially. But there's also something about, you know, an accomplishment, what makes you tick inside. And I think all of us, regardless of where we come from, regardless of our standing, regardless of our economic situation, when you're able to help, that's the word, when you're able to help someone, it makes you feel good. That's what public service is all about. You're helping people. And there's many different ways in which you can do that. I would say to anyone that would want to get into public service at the local level, obviously you're local means you're right there on the ground. You know, you're face-to-face with the people that you're helping. That's why the 82 offices we have around the country, I love visiting them. I love talking to those folks because they're right there with the folks in the towns and villages and counties, you know, providing the vouchers, providing the economic assistance, providing the infrastructure needs. And, you know, at the end of the day, every day, you can say to yourself, I've helped someone. I've made someone who needs help their life much easier. And many of the agencies in federal government do that, but I'm particularly proud and biased, if you will, to HUD. We provide housing. We provide such an important part of a person's life to people who couldn't afford it. Safe, decent, clean, affordable housing. And if you want to feel good at the end of the day and at the end of your career, I was at a retirement party yesterday for a gentleman who was head of the CDBG program for the last 17 years at HUD in the Department of Community Planning and Development. And all the retirements that I attend, this one included, how pleased they are when their career is over that they were really able to make a difference. So I would say to everyone, it's the highest calling after your family. It's the highest calling to help other people.
That's a wonderful perspective and great advice. We have reached the end of our time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Steve and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country, both as mayor at Syracuse and now as deputy secretary at HUD.
If I may, Al and Steve, I want to thank you as well for this time. You know, what you're doing here is you're getting information out to people. And hopefully somebody listening out there will be able to take some of this and help someone else. So, again, Al, Steve, thank you. Pleasure to be with you.
Thank you very much. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Roy Bernardi, Deputy Secretary at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. My co-host has been Steve Sika, Director in IBM's Federal Civilian Industry Practice. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.